And we welcome you in. Dave Spadaro here at the NovaCare Complex in our Xfinity studio. It's Eagles Live, a Monday here, and we're kind of in a state of suspended animation, if you will, waiting for the Super Bowl to be played, waiting for the Eagles to finalize their coaching staff. It's hard to believe it's been less than 2 weeks since the Eagles named Chip Kelly as the head coach here, kind of a whirlwind tour for the head coach, a lot of media opportunities, been very gracious, very accommodating, and extremely interesting. Now it's time to see some results, some ideas, some plans put in place. This is what every fan wants. So I appreciate all of your patience, and I appreciate you tuning in today. We've got a great show for you today. We're going to check in with Bruce Feldman from CBS, one of their college football writers who has a great perspective on Chip Kelly and what he thinks he will bring to the Eagles and to the NFL game. Adam Kaplan checks in, and we're going to get down to some basics with Adam and talk about some of the hardcore decisions the Eagles have to make in the weeks to come with regards to the salary cap, with regards to the roster personnel, and, of course, who may be in the lead with this defensive coordinator search. Let's get to the headlines before we do all of that and get you caught up. Coaching staff yet to be announced. We saw them all in Mobile, Alabama last week. Some of them anyway, none announced yet. Obviously a lot of names out there. I'd rather not get into the names too much until it's official. A whirlwind 2 weeks for Chip Kelly. Been to a lot of media events, been to the Senior Bowl, has been in his office almost nonstop, putting this thing together, getting familiar with the personnel here, studying the Philadelphia Eagles. We're going to talk to Adam Kaplan, as I said, in just a little bit here. And the big decision coming up is Michael Vick. What is the deadline? How does it work? What does his contract read? Obviously, we know that there is a deadline in place post-Super Bowl. So we'll find out what that is. We're going to talk to Tony Pauline, one of our draft insiders. Senior Bowl wrap-up. It's the practices combined with the game. We were there last week. Who jumped out? Anybody who played in that game, anybody at all, the Eagles would consider with the fourth pick in the draft in April. And the Eagles Women's Academy, a few tickets remaining. So jump on board, get those tickets February 9th and 10th right here at the NovaCare Complex. Great opportunity for the ladies out there to get their minds, arms, and at times bodies wrapped around the Philadelphia Eagles and the NFL game. So we welcome you in for that. It's a great Monday here. A little bit of snow, a little feeling like winter. I guess I'd tell you I completely tuned out of the Super Bowl hype. Because I'm so jealous and a bad loser, my approach to the Super Bowl is the same way it has been for years here, unfortunately. I tune in the instant the game begins. I tune out the instant the game is over. I don't watch any of the celebration. I watch the game because I love the game. But I don't watch any of the celebration because I just can't handle it because I want to get back there and win it so very badly. But we've got a lot of things to talk about here. Michael Vick, obviously, is somebody that I know you want to talk about. The Eagles and the defense. Will it be a 3-4? Will it be a 4-3? Who will the coordinator be? Who do you want the coordinator to be? Well, one of the guys who has one of the answers, a lot of the answers, general manager Howie Roseman. Bo Wolf sat down with him a little exclusive, if you will, one-on-one at the Senior Bowl last week in Mobile, Alabama. Beautiful setting down there. The people down there, very gracious. Saw a smattering of Eagles fans. Good to see them represent. But it was an opportunity to sit and talk to Chip Kelly for 17 minutes and a little exclusive one-on-one with him afterward. And then Howie Roseman sitting down with Bo Wolf. Let's take a look and a listen to those two talking about some of the big picture issues with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Howie, you know, there's so much to do here, and it's only been such a short time since Chip Kelly came in, but we've heard about how you guys want to funnel to him the specific things that he's looking for in players. How much of you've been able to have those conversations about what he's looking for in specific positions?
Well, it's been a whirlwind. We spent a lot of time trying to figure out our staff, and the first time we really got in depth about the players at the Senior Bowl was on the plane down here. But it is a 2.5-hour plane ride, as you know. So we came down on the plane and we talked about the background of a lot of the players and some of the guys that really stood out to us, evaluating them since May of last year. And so he's prepared, and he knows a lot of them. He recruited a lot of them, and he played against a lot of them. So.
Can you talk about the flexibility of your personnel staff to be able to go from what you were looking for under Andy to what you're going to be looking for under Chip?
Well, we talk about it being a people business, and in Philadelphia, we really mean that. We want to have the best staff, and so our personnel staff has done a great job of being able to get the players in front of us that they feel really strongly about. And they'll continue to make sure that we see the guys that fit our specific scheme that Coach Kelly puts into place, and that we're ready to go. And what they've done a great job of is making sure that they define guys in both 3-4, 4-3 on defense. On offense, the same thing. Make sure that they define offensive linemen, power offensive linemen, zone scheme offensive linemen. So they've done that so that we can quickly go through the reports and figure out who fits whatever scheme we decide to run.
Quickly to the offensive line, you know, we hear that Chip sort of likes athletic offensive linemen. It seems like that's an easy transition, right, personnel-wise from what you guys had under Howard Mutt.
Well, I think that the misconception is that when you bring in a new coach, you have to overhaul your whole roster. And for us, we do think we have a lot of pieces in place. That doesn't mean we can't add to them, but we'll try to figure out the guys that are really good players and try to keep them and put them in positions to succeed.
As you were going through the coaching search process, can you talk about the role of some of the behind-the-scenes guys on the personnel staff to keep you up to date and to bring you back in when you're ready to come back in full force?
Well, you certainly don't want to miss any names on our personnel staff. Our personnel staff did a great job of, during that time period, continuing to update me on guys they liked, whether it's in free agency, in the college draft, and they did a stand-up job, and I owe them a lot, and I'm very appreciative of the people that we have.
I know you're beginning to formulate the staff, and there are guys here, without getting into specifics, who are already working with you. What is the energy like as you're beginning to work with guys you haven't worked with before and getting to know the different personalities?
Well, it's great energy, and they're really excited to be Philadelphia Eagles, and people are really jazzed about the opportunity to move forward. They know about our fan base. They know how incredible our fans are, what a great city Philadelphia is, and what a great football town it is.
When Chip came in, one of the things that you and Jeffrey harped on was that he's not just an X's and O's guy, he's a program builder. So beyond the X's and O's and beyond, you know, we've heard about practices, what are some of the things that we'll see different organizationally on the football side under Chip?
Well, he talks about asking why a lot. So why do we do things? And he could agree with it, but he wants us to go even further and decide if it is the best way to do it. And that's in every area. That's in my area. That's with the training staff. That's with the strength and conditioning program. And that's exciting. And that's the same way Coach Reed felt. So certainly not anything new for us, but a guy who really is trying to push the thermometer even further.
We also heard the, you know, win the day, win the one day at a time thing. How does that translate to you on the personnel side?
Well, it's a beautiful thing because we've had a lot of days run together here. So winning one day, it keeps us in place. And I think for us, it's about that. It's about what can we do today to get better, whether it's as a personnel staff, whether it's as a coaching staff, whether it's as a training staff, whether it's as a strength and conditioning staff, whether it's at PhiladelphiaEagles.com, buddy.
There you go.
The 12th pick in the 2012 NFL Draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select
Mississippi State defensive tackle Fletcher Cox.
What a
is the Philadelphia Eagles. They traded up, but they didn't have to go all the way to 6 to get Fletcher Cox. They got him at 12. They give up a 4th-round pick, a 6th-round pick.
This is the guy everyone in the media knew about. The Eagles interviewed him at the combine. This guy gets upfield. I'm stunned. I didn't think they'd be able to get him. The fact of the matter is that he's going to be an Eagle. This is the guy that they came into draft wanting.
A lot of people like the speed around the edge that Vinnie Curry has.
They'll be able to get some depth at receiver if they really want some.
I think their aggressive style really fits well with Michael's play.
There's a player I really, really like. I would be surprised if he went in the second round.
Andiamo, andiamo, avanti, avanti.
You know, Ronnie, folks who save hundreds of dollars by switching to Geico sure are happy.
And how happy are they, Jimmy?
Happier than Christopher Columbus with speedboats.
That's happy.
Get happy. Get Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
An ankle sprain is an injury to one or more of the ligaments around the ankle, usually involving the outer aspect of the ankle. Ankle sprains occur from rolling the ankle during an athletic event. The severity of ankle sprains can range from a stretch injury to a partial tear to even complete tears of the ligaments. If you have sustained an ankle injury or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at the Rothman Institute at Jefferson, the leading provider of orthopedic care in the region.
Join us on Saturday, February 9th or Sunday, February 10th for Eagles Academy for Women. Eagles Academy is the ultimate football experience for female Eagles fans. Throughout the day, you'll get hands-on instruction from Eagles coaches in multiple classroom settings, and then put your skills to the test on the practice field with an Eagles player. Fans will also get a behind-the-scenes look at the Eagles locker room, weight room, and enjoy lunch in the team cafeteria. Tickets are on sale now and going fast. Visit PhiladelphiaEagles.com/academy for details.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
We live in a smart world. Smart cars. Smart homes. Smartphones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
There's a sight, a sound, a taste to this town.
Hot Italian bread ready for dinner.
Over 500 varieties of produce, fresh every day.
Custom cut just for you.
Acme. Everything from local produce to Lancaster beef from family-owned farms to breads baked all day.
Salty or sweet?
My neighborhood. My Acme.
We've spent the last 10, 11 days here trying to get to know Chip Kelly, what he's all about, his football philosophies, how he's going to turn this Philadelphia Eagles team into a contender. So from time to time, we reach back into the world of college football and find out from those who have met Chip Kelly and know him very well, their perspective. So we welcome in from CBS, Mr. Bruce Feldman. Bruce, we thank you for taking some time today to join us here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. And I guess the first question is your reaction when you found out that Chip Kelly was the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles.
You know, it was interesting because it had been speculated on for so long that it was like almost a given that he was going to be leaving after this season that, you know, I thought he handled the post Fiesta Bowl game atmosphere pretty well by just saying, look, I'm going to listen. He was pretty blunt about it. And then, you know, a few days later, I had interviewed their athletic director, Rob Mullins, who I know pretty well, and he had told me, you know, we're delighted to have him, you know, staying. And one of the things that I think was a big factor, you know, was just how it's not easy to replicate the culture that they have at Oregon, and Chip Kelly was a big part of, and obviously, and elevating it. And then to find out, you know, not that long after, he's actually moving on. You know, it was a surprise given the road that it had taken. But having said all that, you know, I think that this is a guy who it's going to be really fascinating to see how he does. I kind of cringe when I hear a lot of, especially it's more NFL, you know, media who are saying, oh, Steve Spurrier failed. His system didn't work. So Chip Kelly, what he does, that's not going to translate. And I just don't think that if we've learned anything of what's happened in the last couple of years, whether it's some of the things Jim Harbaugh's done or some of the things the Washington Redskins are doing, you know, that system, you know, if you have a really sharp, smart coach who's very open-minded and very creative, you can succeed. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how Chip does up there.
Bruce, are you in the camp that says that Chip Kelly is a football savant, a genius, if you will?
I don't know if I would call anybody a genius, but I do think just from, you know, knowing a lot of college football coaches and being around a lot of guys, Chip is one of the smartest guys who was in football, period, whether it was college, pro, or at any level. You know, I remember the first time I really got to know him was at the I would go to the coaches convention every year, and Chip had just gotten to be the offensive coordinator at Oregon. And, you know, it's amazing when you think of where he came from. It wasn't like he was one of these guys. You know, Jim Tressel had been a really successful smaller school coach and then, you know, moved up. I mean, Chip was his you know, the rise in the last 7 years. I mean, he didn't just win big at Oregon. I mean, he put up staggering numbers there. And, you know, what he was able to do, I give Mike Bellotti a lot of credit because when he hired Chip Kelly, he was the lowest profile of all the names on there. There were a lot of easier, safer decisions he could have made, and he went that direction. And just from having been around Chip a lot, around his office and seeing how he runs things, he is a really, really sharp guy. Again, I don't want to call anybody a genius who's not, like, you know, curing diseases or anything,
sure.
But he's one of the sharpest football people I've ever been around.
You know, it's interesting, Bruce. I think when the day that Chip was hired, we all had this conception, this idea of the offense would be this pistol formation, spread wide open, all this. And Chip has repeatedly said that he coaches to fit the personnel. Did you see examples of that at Oregon? I mean, how adaptable was the offensive structure there?
Well, the one thing I would say is, you know, he walked into a system where, granted, they were running it before he got there with the quarterback some, but he walked into it, and I think either the first or second year, I think he played five quarterbacks, and they won with all of them. So it's, you know, he is a guy who I think he knows, you know, whether it's going to be this guy or that guy, it's going to, you know, I'm going to make it work. I mean, one thing that I would give him tremendous amount of credit for, you know, he got a lot of credit, rightly so, as a play caller and as a game planner. But I think for the structure that they brought during the week and that environment, you know, he did a really good job of keeping things on track and ramping up. You know, everyone talks about the tempo at practice and all of that and the environment. I think it's even more than that if you talk to guys who worked with him, been around him, that were really struck by what he is able to do. Now, you know, if Nick Foles is his quarterback, and I like Nick and remember, you know, dealing with him through the recruiting process coming out of high school, you know, obviously he's not Dennis Dixon, he's not Marcus Mariota, but it would be interesting to see what he would do. But by the same token, you look at the dynamic athletic guys that are that you know, Chip inherited here, there's a lot to work with for him, and I'm curious to see what he will do with this, depending on who's his trigger man, because there's a lot of different stuff he can do. You know, the quarterback, and I just did a long story talking to Chris Ault, who's the guy who really created the pistol, and really what Chris Ault did and what Chip did aren't identical. People like to lump them together, but they're really different. And one thing Chris Ault, though, did say is, if you have a running quarterback, you know, he believes you can't run it as much in the NFL with a quarterback like you can in college. By the same token, it's like if you run it, you know, three or four or five times a game, that threat is such a factor for the defense to have to deal with. You don't need to be, I mean, obviously it helps. You'd rather have, you know, who your quarterback is. You'd obviously rather him be a 4-4 guy than a 4-8 or a 4-9 guy. But it's still the stress it puts on a defense. And I think those kind of things Chip will be able to take advantage of as he, you know, as he kind of gets settled in there.
So there's no way that we'll have a traditional drop back, Nick Foles drop back, and, you know, backs in the eye, back split kind of offense here.
I would not think that, but you know what? I wouldn't rule anything out with Chip Kelly. You know, I mean, I think he's going to find a way to, you know, I don't know if there'll be certain kind of window dressing you'll see especially with the receivers and how dynamic those guys are and some of the stuff that I think, and Chip knows those guys, you know, from some of them he saw a lot of in college. So I think that's something that, you know, he'll be able to exploit. I just don't know. You know, I wouldn't expect this to look like the Washington Redskins, you know, from, you know, with the Hogs. Now, maybe there'll be some wrinkles into that. But, you know, I'll be curious to see what he does, because it's not going to be vanilla. That's one thing I would predict.
Bruce, do you feel that Chip will be a success given time, given the right pieces in place here?
I do. I think one of the things, and again, I don't want this to go, you know, I don't want to, you know, be, you know, the Spurrier comparison, what I think is the most off with it was, you know, Spurrier's way was a certain way, and Chip Kelly is all about football. I mean, he's not golfing, he's not doing other things, and I think that he will be committed to it. Now, will he have the immediate success that Jim Harbaugh had? I mean, I'm skeptical of that just because I think it's stunning what Harbaugh has done, but I do think he is that bright. He understands. I think what Chip is really good at is he understands what he knows. He also understands what he doesn't know. And I think there's ways, not necessarily around it, but ways to work with it. And I think that he's going to have a offense that people will think more, they may think more of than what they're getting, kind of thing, if you're against it. And I think just the specter of, oh, we're coaching against Chip Kelly, not like anybody in the NFL is going to be intimidated by it necessarily. Well, maybe the Cowboys will, but I think he's going to look at it, people are going to look at it going, we're going up against this guy. We have to have this in the back of our mind because we think he does that. And I think that alone will be interesting to see how the NFL kind of manages his reputation. You know, it'll make other guys probably more of a threat than maybe they would initially be.
Yeah, I mean, I can honestly sit here and say, Bruce, that I don't know what to expect. I mean, I expect Chip to have an extremely open mind about how to win games from one week to the next. Is that a fair kind of assessment?
I think so. I think the only game where I felt like and I've covered a lot of Oregon games and was around him quite a bit. The only game where I ever looked at it and said, ooh, Chip Kelly looks like he may be in over his head, or this is, you know, was actually his first game as a head coach. They played at Boise State, and Boise had a good team, was underrated as they usually are coming into a season. But I think one of the big issues, as I recall from that team, was the interior of the line. I think the center and the two guards were really inexperienced, and, you know, it was a rough go for them. And a lot of the stuff that I think they would have liked to have tried to do really just couldn't. They just couldn't make it work, and Boise really dominated at that time of it, and I think it just kind of snowballed, and like I said, that's a tough place to play. But almost every other time you looked at it and you'd see, I think you have a team that kind of takes on his personality. Now, with 30-year-olds and 28-year-olds, it's a little different than it is with 19- and 20-year-olds. But, keep in mind, as much as he won, a lot of times, especially on the defensive side of the ball, and even with the linemen, almost across the board, Chip Kelly beat, you know, the bigger profile schools, especially in the Pac-12, but other, you know, in bowl games as well, with guys that were the three-star recruits.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't, you know, a lot of these guys, the five-star guys were at USC, the five-star guys were at UCLA, or four-star guys, and he didn't have those. And I think, not to say that he didn't have any playmakers, because he did, but not to the level. And so I think when you consider that, I think you know that he's pretty good at kind of exploiting the stuff he does have to work with.
Well, needless to say, Bruce, it is exciting times here for the Philadelphia Eagles. We thank you very much for taking some time out and joining us here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
got to happen on this field, man. Respect is not given, it is earned, that dog. Whatever you got to do, let me get that. They don't know what I hold, man. They don't know what I hold. And everything, give me what you got. Domination, snot bubbles, crazy eyes, whatever. Let's dominate this thing. Hold in on three, one, two, three, all in.
Hey, Eagles fans, this is Brian Dawkins, and you're watching Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
Join us on Saturday, February 9th or Sunday, February 10th for Eagles Academy for Women. Eagles Academy is the ultimate football experience for female Eagles fans. Throughout the day, you'll get hands-on instruction from Eagles coaches in multiple classroom settings, and then put your skills to the test on the practice field with an Eagles player. Fans will also get a behind-the-scenes look at the Eagles locker room, weight room, and enjoy lunch in the team cafeteria. Tickets are on sale now and going fast. Visit PhiladelphiaEagles.com/academy for details.
E-A-G-L-E-S-E-O!
What are the Eagles going to do for their defensive coordinator? How are they going to get into the salary cap? We've got somebody who has absolutely no idea, but he's going to pretend like he does. Adam Kaplan joins me, Dave Spadaro here in Xfinity Studio. Adam, welcome back from Mobile, Alabama. You got
Thank
a little
you.
Color there,
I
buddy.
Do. You know, yeah. Hey, listen, 2 weeks ago was Tampa, 80-degree weather. Your guys were there, of course. And
yeah.
And Mobile, which you were there.
Look how burned tan you are. You look great.
Do you enjoy your
soiree? I think the Senior Bowl is fantastic.
Really?
Yeah, it's wonderful.
I didn't say that when I saw you.
Yeah, it's great.
Anyway.
Love it.
I like the scouting part of it. You don't, you're like in the middle.
Well, I agree with you because I don't really know what I'm watching. I don't know the names.
What should we call that, though?
Who jumped out for you? Who'd you fall in love with down there?
I try not to use that term because then you get fixated on someone, and if they don't play as well as you thought, then you feel like a chump. So I thought that Malvern Prep's
Ryan Nassib
did a good job. I thought he possessed the kind of skills that you like to see at the NFL level, through with timing and anticipation, which I really like. Thought he had a really good week. E.J. Manuel was very intriguing to me. Very inconsistent during the week, but he's got a big arm, and he could throw on the run, my friend, and I think that's what Chip Kelly's probably going to want. Who knows?
I can't figure out the quarterback. I'll be honest with you, Adam. We're sitting here, and the Eagles have not announced their coaching staff.
Right.
The defensive coordinator, it's a different name every day. I'm enjoying the intrigue. I can honestly tell you that I do not know who the defensive coordinator will be.
Are those of us who cover the National Football League pulling names out of a hat?
I mean, yes. Yeah, I do. I think
it's
so.
It's like a virtual who's who.
I think the Eagles have locked it all down, and I'm glad with that. The leaks of these last couple of years were ridiculous.
Right.
But there are some intriguing names out there, and Steve Spagnuolo and Ed Donatell and some others. You know,
Ted Romeo
Crennel, Ted Monachino.
Right.
What's your sense of all of these names being thrown around?
Well, first of all, I think realistically, whoever it's going to be is probably from one of these Super Bowl staff. Now, can't say for sure. Don't know that. I'm not involved in the process. But I think there's a realistic possibility because, Dave, why in the world would they not have hired this person already? And, you know, why would you wait? You know, why would you wait? So it's obviously you just want to interview one or two of these coaches. Mm-hmm. The Donatell name, to me, from what I've been told, has been like dead for 4 or 5 days. So I don't think it's going to be him. Jim Tom Sula, I've been asked ad nauseum about. Don't think it's going to be him. Things could change. Now, the thing I like about Tom Sula, he's one of the top D-line coaches in the league, but the trend now in the National Football League is go with the guys on the back end, guys at linebacker.
Why?
Or DB. You know, one executive explained to me that that's what these GMs like, or in this case, Roseman will not make the call. It's going to be the head coach, Chip Kelly. They want guys who see it all. Who are back there, who kind of see the trends with schemes and see, hey, this is where you got to line up your corners because it's a DB league. I mean, it's about defensive ends. and cornerbacks. I mean, that's the way this league is. So I think you're probably looking at a linebackers coach. Now, just because it might be a linebackers coach, we'll see if it is. But if it's a linebackers coach, it doesn't mean that that guy doesn't know defensive backs. Generally, at some point or some level, a linebackers coach is probably coached defensive backs. So you have to be careful with worrying about if guys coach one position or another.
All right, let's talk about some of these names that we've heard. Adam Schefter from ESPN reporting that the Eagles over the weekend interviewing linebacker from Cleveland Browns, linebackers coach Billy Davis.
Yes.
I actually knew his father very well.
How long was his dad here for?
He was a long time ago.
Okay. 80s, right?
Yeah. Billy Davis, tell me what you know about him.
Okay, Billy Davis is a guy who's been D coordinator twice in his career. I first heard his name associated with Eagles at the Senior Bowl, and maybe he might be on their list, but the thing I like about Billy Davis is he's got extensive work with the 3-4. He's coached linebackers. He's coached several positions. He's been around the league a long time. I like that his dad was an executive, so he's grown up in the football world. I like that. But his guy is kind of a journeyman. I would call him sort of a lower-end candidate for this. Not going to rule him out. Because Eagles have to have, let's just assume for a second that they're looking at, again, a couple guys on these Super Bowl teams. First of all, they may not get permission to interview him after the Super Bowl. So what are they going to do? You got to have other names. So I think it's similar to the head coaching search. You have a top list, and if those guys don't work, you've got to have other guys. And I think that's what the Eagles have done at both levels here.
And there seem to be, as with the coaching search, a lot of candidates.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing how many good coaches are still out
there. The trend, though, if you examine the entire list, all the names that have been reported and some that I've heard, and Romeo Crennel will get to in a second, all of them are coaching the 3-4, except for Spagnuolo, who, by the way, got fired because he had not coached in the 3-4. Right. Sean Payton wants to go to that.
Let's go to candidate number two, Teddy Montesino from the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens, of course, preparing for their Super Bowl appearance on Sunday. What can you tell us about Montesino?
Veteran assistant coach, has coached linebackers, one of the best, along with his partner there, Don Wink Martindale. Martindale's not on their list from what I've been kind of searching for here. But this guy is a really good teacher. That's what someone who knows him very well told me on my win, just to get more information on him. Is he ready to be a D coordinator? Boy, he's been around long enough. He's in his mid-40s. He's coached on the collegiate and pro levels. I like that. He's a high rise here. He's kind of like under the radar. If you work in the league, you know about him, but fans and a lot of the media really doesn't know him at all.
Okay, the other name, actually one of the early names to emerge, and you say is a dead name, but we'll discuss it anyway, Ed Donatell, DB's coach in San Francisco, known here as the defensive coordinator when Green Bay played the Eagles and Freddie Mitchell caught the 27-yard pass from Donovan McNabb to convert the 4th-and-26.
That's right.
Still a very good coach, very accomplished.
Outstanding defensive backs coach, has been D coordinator twice with the Falcons and the Packers. He's going to be a D coordinator again because he's done a phenomenal job with the defensive backs, the safeties too, really. He coaches the secondary. And the thing that I like about him is people who've worked with him who I've talked to say that he's got the great temperament. He's willing to be aggressive, which is something I think is very important. Because when you run the 3-4, you can't just sit back there. And he works well with others. That's another factor that we rarely talk about, which I want to touch on very, very quickly here. We know what happened with Jim Washburn. Coaches have to work with coaches well, because if you look at this new staff, most of them will not have worked with each other before. It's very important that they all get along. And I like that Donatell has worked with a lot of different people who I've talked to, and they all speak very highly of him, that he works well with other people. So that's a name that, you know what, that might be a fallback name. I don't want to completely eliminate him here.
Okay, let's go with Todd Grantham. Is that his name? Georgia's defensive coordinator. Yep. A little bit of a relationship with Chip Kelly possible here?
Fiery guy, very aggressive. Like that he's been a D coordinator, was with the Browns under Romeo Crennel. He's an accomplished guy. He's coached positions. He's been a D coordinator. I like that. Through Friday, he's not even been interviewed yet. I'm not sure why. He was on the early list. Here's what I think, okay? And this is not just talking about Grantham. This happened with the coaching search. Teams get a long list of people. They go, hey, you know what? I've heard a lot about this guy. Let's put him on the list. But as they gather information, they take names off. Or they put him lower on the list. That's why I think some of these names have not gotten interviews yet, because they're not as high as we probably thought they were.
All right, and the final name, at least on our list that's been reported, for a friend of ours, very accomplished defensive coordinator, Steve Spagnuolo, fired in New Orleans after one season during which the Saints allowed more yards than any team in NFL history. Traditionally a 4-3 coach, learned under Jim Johnson. The Saints want to go 3-4. Immediately a name that is linked to Philadelphia. Is it realistic to even think that Spags would come back?
Well, here's the thing, okay? If you're looking at a 3-4 defensive coordinator and a guy who's not had experience in a 4-3, that doesn't matter. But if you're looking at a guy who's coached a 4-3 and he's never coached in a 3-4, that's a whole different ballgame.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably an issue. I had thought late in the week, and this got shot down by two people that are familiar with what's going on here, that I thought there might be a chance they'd still stick with a 4-3. I'm told, unless Kelly changes his mind, they're going with a 3-4. Because I know he let his guy in Oregon, he didn't have it. He just let the guy coach, but he liked the aggressiveness and how it produces turnovers and it causes confusion. It is a tough – listen, it's tough for quarterbacks. Peyton Manning, if you study the numbers for whatever reason, has not done quite as well against a 3-4. I don't have an answer for it, but it's what they do.
What are the chances that the five names we listed, that the defensive coordinator is not one of those five names?
It could be because you mentioned at the top here, they've done a good job of kind of shutting these things down. In fact, the way that we're finding out about it is basically after the interview, some of us found out about how they interviewed. But that's good. That's a good thing. But the fact of the matter is, I just find it interesting it's taken this long. Now, someone threw this idea out to me before, and I'll throw this out. Why wouldn't it be another college coach who's dealing with recruiting now because of the signing period? They said, talk to me after that period, which is coming up very soon. So who knows? That brings up your point. Maybe it could be one of those guys. I don't know, but you need to have a long list when you wait this long, and it looks like they do.
All right, so we shift from the coaching search, defensive coordinator style, to the roster. Now, the Eagles, as it stands right now, projected to be $23 million over the cap. Is that what it is?
No, 17. Here's
what we've got here.
Yeah, here's what I broke down here, okay? The salary cap's projected to be around $121 million, okay, which is basically what last year's was, really no increase. The Eagles, from last season, were able to move over $23 million. They were $23 million under, okay? Through good cap management, they were able to do that. For 2013, they're projected to be about $17 million over. You subtract both numbers, as you saw in my email, you get $6 million. Now, $6 million is not enough to go into free agency. You want a minimum of $15 million, probably to $20 million. Now, I want to say this also. You can't build a roster through free agency. It doesn't work. It's time-tested. It's got to be a mixture of the draft and free agency. And most NFL people think you build it through the draft, you supplement through free agency. So when you look at this cap surplus that the Eagles have, and they're going to have a lot, because you saw the list there, Michael Vick's the first decision next week. What they're going to do at the very least is they're going to terminate Vick's contract. If they want to re-sign him, they'll bring him back to another number, okay? You never rule anything. If I've learned anything in 14 years here, every time I think there's no chance.
Let's explain what Vick's situation is. If he's not on the roster, if he's on the roster 3 days after the Super Bowl.
It's actually 2 days. It's 2 days, right?
Two or three. I think it's three. But then the Eagles would owe him $3 million.
Yeah, it's $3 million fully guaranteed.
Now, if they were to then release or trade him after that, what happens
now? Here's the thing. First of all, if they release him, the Eagles are going to save a lot of money. In fact, they're going to save around $13 million, okay? That would put them at about, $19 million. That's great. I mean, that's really all you need. But let's wait. There's another guy, Demetrius Bell. He's got a roster bonus 3 days after free agency starts, okay? Yeah. That's more money. That'll put them in the $27 million range. He's an $8.5 million roster bonus, okay? The Eagles did a smart thing. The way they did these contracts last year, they would get a big salary cap rebate if they didn't keep them. They didn't go with signing bonus because that you get hit on salary bonus proration. Very good job by Jake Rosenberg and Roseman here.
So Michael Vick, $3 million. Let's say you trade him.
You can't trade him.
Let's say you cut him.
You can cut him. You cannot trade him.
You owe him $3 million. Another team signs him for $2.5 million. Eagles are on the hook for $500,000.
No. Oh, you're saying because of the,
they're not on the hook for $3 million.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
They're not on the hook for $3 million.
You're taking a different different approach.
That's the way I would structure it.
Okay, I see the way you're looking at it.
Yeah.
Well, the bottom line is.
So on the cap hit, it would be $500,000, right?
Yes, because if the Eagles decide to keep him past the guaranteed date of next week, they'd be on the hook for $3 million. However, if they cut him after that, but another team signs
him,
yes,
then they'd only be on the hook for the difference.
Yes, from what I understand. Yes. Okay. Yes.
All right. So then it's really not a deadline next week. It's not a hard deadline.
No, but you don't.
I mean, my sense is that Chip Kelly's still going through all of the machinations on the roster that he really doesn't know.
Well, here's the thing. He's barely bit. Like, he had the Senior Bowl, okay? Yeah. How much tape has he been able to watch?
Yeah.
You know? So
at the end of the day, the Eagles are going to have plenty of cap room.
They're going to have so much cap room.
I agree with you. I don't think they're going to go hog wild in free agency.
Well, I've done the offense already, and I see some receivers because I think Kelly will go with a lot of three and four receiver sets. So that's something we need to find out. We won't know for a while. They may go after a nice receiver like Mike Wallace. I'm not saying they will. I have no idea what they're going to do yet. It's too early. But who's to say they won't bring in a fairly big name who could run, because Chip Kelly wants speed, tight end. There's some good tight ends out there. So they're going to be able to do whatever they want, which is kind of amazing considering the Asamoah contract, which we'll get to at some point. I mean, they do have some guys like Jason Peters.
Darrell Revis?
I wouldn't do it. It has nothing to do with age. He's not old. He's only 27, but he's coming back from reconstructive knee surgery, and he's going to want to do...
He's a one and a two.
Forget it.
Yeah.
ACL injury. What are you doing? You can't do that.
All right. Adam Kaplan, hang in there for a minute. We're going to come back here. Thank you very much. Good stuff.
All right.
Adam Kaplan on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Teva Pharmaceuticals is the proud sponsor of Eagles in the Community. For more information on the program, click the Community tab right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We had a great 2012 and look forward to an even better 2013. Teva Pharmaceuticals and the Eagles in the Community.
So, man, how's that Bud Light Port Paradise cruise?
Oh, man. First day... So later on, it's all swing, baby, swing, swing, baby. Then we hit the ship's deck. Next day, there's this private island concert. So what'd you guys do?
4 days, 3 nights, a 2-day music festival, and one legendary party, Bud Light Port Paradise. Here we go.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of long weekends and longer retirements. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
Hi, I'm Eagle Safety Kirk Coleman. Fans in Pennsylvania can now drive the Eagles pride every day of the year with the new Eagles license plate. Each plate purchase helps the Eagles Youth Partnership support the kids in need throughout our region. Get yours today, right here at PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
There's a sight, a sound, a taste to this town.
Hot Italian bread ready for dinner.
Over 500 varieties of produce, fresh every day.
Custom cut just for you.
Acme, everything from local produce to Lancaster beef from family-owned farms to breads baked all day.
Salty or sweet?
My neighborhood, my Acme.
With the 12th pick in the 2012 NFL Draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select...
Good. Mississippi State defensive tackle Fletcher
Wow.
Cox
what a
is a Philadelphia Eagle. They traded up, but they didn't have to go all the way to 6 to get Fletcher Cox. They got him at 12. They give up a fourth-round pick, a sixth-round pick.
This is the guy everyone in the media knew about. The Eagles interviewed him at the Combine. This guy gets upfield. I'm stunned. I didn't think they'd be able to get him. The fact of the matter is that he's going to be an Eagle. This is the guy that they came into draft wanting.
A lot of people like the speed around the edge that Vinny Curry has.
They'll be able to get some depth at receiver if they really want some.
I think their aggressive style really fits well with Michael's play.
There's a player I really, really like. I would be surprised if he went in the second round.
We'll be right back.
Dave Spadaro, Adam Kaplan, we invite your phone calls, 215-339-6709. Adam, we have not touched on the draft.
No.
And I know it's way, I get these questions as you do. What are the Eagles going to do? What are the Eagles? I mean, it's so far away.
All I know is speed on offense. All I know. It's too early.
Yeah. I mean, is your sense that the number four pick will yield, should the Eagles use it, a very good player, an instant impact player, if you will?
Yes. Yeah, I do. I don't believe these people are saying, oh, it's a bad top 10. I don't believe that at all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that at all. It's everybody looks at players differently. And you know, again, everyone's talking offense. How about defense? Now, I don't think obviously corners and safeties. Maybe they can get them later, but they'll get a very good football player. It's funny you said if they use it. Who knows? If they don't trade out.
As you look at the Super Bowl matchup, Baltimore and San Francisco, and you specifically look at the Niners and how they stack up with the Eagles, from a roster standpoint, how far away are the Eagles?
Well, obviously, quarterback, you don't know. I think the 49ers offensive line shocked me. They're probably one of the...
Well, they have three first-round picks.
Really good. Right? It's actually going way up. Their coaches are tremendous. We don't know about this coaching staff. You just see that there's a lot of change here where you have stability, although it's only been a couple years for that staff. It's amazing, and obviously you have leadership. Okay, you have it from a personnel standpoint, and it goes down to the head coach. What Jim Harbaugh has done is really simply fascinating, and he did this coming out of a lockout. I mean, it's really unheard of, and right now he was probably one of the top three coaches of the National Football League, which is pretty incredible to say after, what, two seasons? I'm sorry, it is what it is. The guy's just unbelievable, and it helps that he's been a player and a quarterback in this league, and it helps that when you have a personnel staff that's been in the league, Trent Baalke and Tom Gamble, and they have a really good college staff, they know what they're doing. I mean, there's no substitute for experience. That's the thing that I've learned covering the league this season. That's probably why they're winning. And you look at the Baltimore staff.
Yeah.
Look at their coaching staff. Look at their personnel staff. Ozzie Newsome, Eric DaCosta. They've got guys who've been around the National Football League for a long time. You can't hire guys who've been in the league 1 or 2 years and say, okay, go win. I don't care how talented they are. It takes time, and you need to build, and that's what they need to do here.
I'll ask you the preemptive question before we get to phone calls here. Alex Smith, likely not to be a 49er next year.
Yes.
What happens to him? What does it take for a team to acquire a player like Alex Smith? And would he be a good fit in Philadelphia?
He is. You know what? I think he'd be best in a West Coast offense where three steps, five steps, get it out here.
It's weird. We're not running the West Coast offense anymore.
Well, no, you asked me.
Yeah, I know.
Thank you for letting me complete my thought.
No, but you're getting it through the head here after 14 years of West Coast. Actually, longer than that because Ray Rose was all West Coast.
Hey, listen.
Yeah.
And I hate to say this because we all love Andy, but it's like he wasn't here. But it's the way they're going to run this offense.
Yeah.
No, I don't think he'd be a good fit for this offense. I think someone who can – and also another thing is who could really run. That Colin Kaepernick would have been an awesome fit for this offense. Right. Who knows?
All right, let's get this to phone calls, 215-339-6709. Let's go to Mark in Danville. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good at this point in year, but
– It's over.
This coming season.
We look ahead. We don't look behind.
That's right.
What's up?
I just got a couple questions.
Fire away.
This draft coming up, I'm really thinking we should get that corner from Alabama.
D. Milliner. What do you think, Adam? Number four pick is
I know he's a good football player. It's hard to assess value right now. The only position I really have a handle on is quarterback. I don't really know where the other – I mean, we're in January.
Yeah, I know.
It's just a little bit
Everybody's
early.
Everybody's jumping
value.
Ahead to the draft. Next question, Mark.
If you have a question about quarterbacks, I can help you.
Go ahead. Mark, you got another one?
Everyone's looking at the left tackle, maybe the tackle from Texas A&M. I know we had some problems on the offensive line, struggling this past year. But honestly, I don't see the Eagles drafting a left tackle just because of Jason Peters coming back. But that's always a thought, too.
Yeah. Hey,
what did you think about that?
Yeah, thank you very much for the call, Mark. We've discussed the offensive line. It's my biggest need. I want a stud right tackle. Now, I know Luke Jokel is a left tackle. I don't know how easy it is to go from left tackle to right tackle for him. Eric Fisher, big name guy at the Senior Bowl.
Oh, Lane Johnson.
I'd like to see a stud right tackle come in here and move Harriman's back inside.
Okay.
We're
assuming Jason Peters is going to be okay, right? We've thought to believe that's the case. So I'm with you there.
Do you think that's a gigantic number one need for this
team? Well, just the offensive line in general needs help. There's no question about that. The other thing is, if they're all healthy, will they be the same? And will Kelce get his knee back? Will Jason Peters get his, will he be back? You know, now he's in his 30s. I don't know. I agree with you. I think you take the best player available other than a running back. I would not take a running back because they don't need a running back, and there's no point in taking one. And I'm not taking a kicker or a punter, but would you take a D tackle? Again, I don't even know what the top 10 looks like yet. I'm not opposed to taking a D tackle or D end. You know, if they're playing a 3-4, you typically, unless you're looking at a superstar, would not take a DN in a 3-4 that early.
Yeah. Who's the best player in the draft, do you think, right now?
Might be Geno Smith. I don't know.
Really?
I think Geno Smith's going to go top 10. I really do.
Really?
Yes, I do.
He's going to be one of those.
Based on people I talk to
he's going
to
be one of those quarterbacks who just, when he does his workouts, he's going to just rise.
Right. In fact, I think his people thought that he didn't need to be at the Senior Bowl. You know, they thought that he could just work and just, he's at IMG now, training with a lot of the big-time players. But I think when you look at it, Geno Smith, as quarterbacks tend to do, they tend to go up the board when you don't think they will. So definitely
top
15.
Could he play in this system, Adam? Is he an athlete?
I think so. I think because he doesn't try to run, but he can run. He's a smart kid, hard worker, good character. Yeah, I think he's going to go top 10. Is he going to go, top 5? It's very early. We haven't even had the combine yet. Private workouts.
Everybody wants to know. I know. Chip Kelly hasn't been on the job for 2 weeks.
I know. It's crazy. I get it. Everyone's excited. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Keep it going.
Daniel in California joins us on Eagles Live. Hi, Daniel. How are you today?
Pretty good, Dave. How are you guys
Hello,
doing
Daniel.
Today? How you doing, Adam?
Good. What's up?
Question here, okay, about the quarterback. Since, I was going to ask you about the guard from Alabama, but I'll go quarterback. Who do you see them even targeting? Do you think the EJ Emmanuel, you think he'd be around like third round or something like that?
Yeah, well, it's funny. I gave him a third round grade. He may go before that. And I really, now the thing I like about Emmanuel is that he's not just a guy that is going to run. He's a pocket passer who's got a big arm.
Right.
Yeah, yes, his mechanics need to be refined. I saw that up close. But man, you cannot teach arm strength like this. Did you see the touchdown pass in the Senior Bowl game, my friend? Unbelievable.
Nice pass.
And you saw that. He had a 50-yard pass at the Senior Bowl practice down the left sideline, which would take your breath away. It was unbelievable. But then the next pass went in the dirt. So that's what you're worried about with Manuel. He just needs to be more consistent. But I like that he's got high character, he's a good kid, and he'll work hard. I think he might go before the third. I might turn out to be wrong about that. Not that I'm giving a grade from just Senior Bowl practice, but, boy, he's fun to watch. That ball jumps out of his hand.
And one more question I'll let you go. With the Foles project, do you think there's a way Foles would fit in his system, or do you think they're going to just try to go another route?
I didn't hear the name. Did you say Emmanuel?
The QB we already have.
Oh, wait, you said Foles?
Foles, yeah.
Here's what's
thanks for the call.
All right, I'm going to share something with you. I had a talk with an executive I really trust at the Senior Bowl. I asked him the same question. I think, you think Foles can fit the system? He said, everything but the running part. That's what he said.
But we don't know how much Chip Kelly wants to run.
I know. Will he reduce it? Will he do the full Kelly scheme?
I guess the question I have is, how many quarterbacks in this draft are better than Nick Foles? That's really what it comes down to,
As drop
right?
back passers?
Just as quarterbacks in this system.
I think Geno Smith potentially is probably better than Foles. I think Ryan Nassib's a different kind of quarterback. I think he's more of a West Coast guy. It's a great question, Dave. I think it's too early in the process.
I thought Nick Foles ran through the ball very well.
Very well. Yeah,
particularly on the run.
That was a surprise, but he's not a guy. But
he's not running the pistol.
Exactly. He's not a guy. You don't want Nick Foles running. If things break down, he's shown that he could throw on the run, which is also a good pass.
All right, we'll take a little break when we come back. More with Adam. A couple calls. We'll wrap it up real quick with Adam. We've got Tony Pauline coming in just a little bit for a little conversation on the phone. Coming right back with more on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Purchase the newest Philadelphia Eagles cheerleader swimsuit calendar featuring all 38 beautiful cheerleaders in eco-friendly bikinis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of Congress, in celebration of over 75 years of our Government Employees Insurance Company,
or GEICO, as most of you know it,
I propose savings for everyone. I'm talking hundreds here, and furthermore...
Breaking news, the Gecko is demanding free pudding.
And political parties that are actual parties, with cake and presents. Ah, that was good. It's too bad nobody could hear me.
Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
Flacco again with four receivers. Flacco takes the snap. He's looked right. He is hit. The football comes loose. Eagles on it. Eagles on it. Flacco was hit. The hit by Trent Cole. That'll be a sack and a fumble.
Trent Cole gets right around Mike Orr, the left tackle. Gets his hand on the football.
Hi, Eagles fans. You're with Trent Cole, 5'8", the Hunter, and you're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
We've got a great event for you, February 9th and 10th. We mentioned it earlier, the Women's Academy, Eagles Academy for Women. Make sure you get your tickets online on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Only a few of them left, Adam.
Is that where they come in here to learn football?
Yeah, kind of the thing? Women Very come cool. in, and the Eagles have some personnel here, and they teach the women some of the basics of the game of football. It actually escalates beyond the basics. And they go out into the bubble, and they have drills. And if you want to treat your lady right, a Valentine's Day gift, a birthday gift, an I love you gift, it's the perfect one. We've got a few tickets left.
Very cool.
Jump in on it now, Adam. We are kind of inundated with draft questions, with free agency questions. What's your kind of, as your anticipated order of business for the Philadelphia Eagles here in the next month or so before the combine?
It's basically they've got to get free agency in order. That's up first. And they've got to decide on some contracts. Jason Peters has a minuscule roster bonus. I'm sure they'll pick that up. We talked about the Vic thing. We'll just see what happens here. You got Demetrius Bell. I think that what they have to do is kind of figure out, and Howie's talked about this, what does the head coach want? What does he want in an offensive lineman? Because Jason Peters should fit with any offensive line. I mean, he's that talented if he's healthy. But what kind of body type does he want?
Yeah.
That's what's the major challenge for the personnel staff here. They've never worked with an offensive mind like this because he sees it differently. This guy's never worked in the NFL before.
Well, the question is,
challenge.
The question is, does Chip come in and say, this is the offense that we're going to run, or this is the personnel that we have, and let's make it work?
It's probably
going to
be a mixture of it.
Yeah.
You know how he was quoted, you know, maybe a year ago about Foles and how much he liked him? He's like, oh, I'm glad he's graduated. I'm sick of watching this guy. I mean, that's unsolicited. So how could this guy – you and I have watched tape of Foles all season. I think we both like him. Just because he has this athletic system where the guy runs, can't you go to more of a drop-back system? I mean, I'd hate to let a guy like that feel like you have to trade him because you can't run the system. I mean,
do you think Nick Foles can be a big-time quarterback in the NFL?
Define that. What's that term being?
Joe Flacco. We've all compared him to Joe Flacco. And
Joe Flacco's
at one point
a pretty
during
good
the
quarterback.
Season, Joe Flacco, and I was not a Joe Flacco fan.
I know
fan.
That because I've heard this for now for 4 years from you.
But in this postseason, tremendous.
He was great in the postseason last year, Dave.
I can't argue.
And I would say that look at the talent that
he has.
Flacco has. Eagles have better talent.
I'll be honest with you. I think one of the major reclamation projects, in a sense, and I say that in quotes, is what Chip brings out of number 10. I think DeSean Jackson has to be a big-time player every week. He's become too much of a vertical threat and nothing else.
Not more. They
doesn't
need more
catch the ball in the red zone.
Yeah, I got it.
You know, doesn't run the ball anymore.
Right.
Got to be a guy who touches the ball 5, 6, 7 times a game and makes big plays.
Listen, they're
not saving DeSean Jackson for anything anymore.
I totally agree with you. They ran the ball a lot at Oregon.
Give him the ball.
He believes it. Chip Kelly believes in it. You got to run the football. A lot of plays, wants volume. He wants speedy receivers. That's why I threw out earlier. I'm not even guessing. I'm just saying it wouldn't shock me if they go after a receiver early in the draft who could really run or in free agency. But the problem is in free agency, when we look at my list next time I come in, other than Mike Wallace, there are not a lot of guys who could really run.
Right. Adam Kaplan, we'll be with you, checking in with you throughout the offseason here as the Eagles gear up for 2013. Adam Kaplan in studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Next up, phone call with Tony Pauline, our draft insider. What did he see at the Senior Bowl that might interest the Philadelphia Eagles? Stay tuned for more Eagles Live.
Purchase the newest Philadelphia Eagles cheerleader swimsuit calendar featuring all 38 beautiful cheerleaders in eco-friendly bikinis.
A concussion is one of the most common head injuries in sports that are caused by a blow to the head. Typical symptoms of a concussion include headache, dizziness, vision disturbance, loss of balance, confusion, and memory loss. An athlete cannot return to play until all symptoms of a concussion resolve and they are cleared by an experienced physician. If you have sustained a concussion or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital, the leading providers of orthopedic care in the region.
Here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
Join us on Saturday, February 9th or Sunday, February 10th for Eagles Academy for Women. Eagles Academy is the ultimate football experience for female Eagles fans. Throughout the day, you'll get hands-on instruction from Eagles coaches in multiple classroom settings and then put your skills to the test on the practice field with an Eagles player. Fans will also get a behind-the-scenes look at the Eagles locker room, weight room, and enjoy lunch in the team cafeteria. Tickets are on sale now and going fast. Visit PhiladelphiaEagles.com/academy for details.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
Yo, we just scored. Where are you, man?
Hey, Greg. I had to sell my seats because I got this thing that came up.
Hey, Doug.
We bought your seats, Doug.
Yay! Yay.
Yeah, Greg Jennings is in our lap.
I wish Greg Jennings was in my lap.
Doug, I told you we just scored. Why aren't you smiling?
I am smiling.
Show up, Jimmy. There's a big Dougie smile. That's my guy.
Flacco again with four receivers. Flacco takes the snap. He's looked right. He is hit. The football comes loose. Eagles on it. Eagles on it. Flacco was hit. The hit by Trent Cole. That'll be a sack and a fumble.
Trent Cole gets right around Mike Orr, the left tackle. Gets his hand on the football.
Hi, Eagles fans. You're with Trent Cole, 5'8", and you're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
We welcome you inside the studio. Dave Spadaro here, joined by Tony Pauline, our draft insider. The Senior Bowl, Tony, is finished. Mobile, Alabama returns to its calm, very quaint state. And now we turn our attention ahead to, of course, the Combine next month. Tony Pauline, let's talk about some of the winners from the Senior Bowl. I know you enjoyed your time down there. And from an Eagles perspective, a lot of help needed on defense. Who stood out to you at the Senior Bowl week?
I thought some of the defensive linemen really had good weeks. Start with Jonathan Jenkins of Georgia. We all know he's a talented guy, and I think he surprised people because he was even more athletic than a lot of scouts thought. I mean, the guy was 359 pounds when he weighed in, but he moves with cat-like quickness. He's not just a defensive lineman that occupies the blocks, occupies the gaps, but he can change direction and get outside the line of scrimmage. You know, as I said on Eagles.com during many of the interviews, we know he has this talent. It's just a matter of him applying it on an every down basis. So if you're looking for an interior tackle, he stood out. I thought Sylvester Williams of North Carolina really picked it up towards the end of the week. There's another guy that can play on the nose. He can play defensive tackle. He's another prospect who, you know, is more than just a gap occupier. He shoots, penetrates behind the line of scrimmage.
He's a better than average pass rusher, and he has a lot of skill. He does really play with that intensity that Jenkins doesn't. So those were the two offensive linemen I thought really stood out. I thought Brandon Williams of Missouri Southern and Montori Hughes of Tennessee Martin were two small school linemen that also had productive weeks.
Tony, I guess what people kind of follow the Senior Bowl, it's not the combine, obviously. How many first-round draft picks potentially did we see in Mobile?
I'm going to say right now it's going to be about five. The two guys I mentioned, Jonathan Jenkins, Sylvester Williams, I think Eric Fisher, the offensive tackle from Central Michigan, really elevated his stock. He was probably a late first-rounder going into the process. He leaves the Senior Bowl as a top 15 pick. I think Ezekiel Ansah of BYU, the big defensive end, former track star who came to BYU from the country of Ghana, I think he established himself as a first-round pick. I also think Lane Johnson, the offensive lineman from Oklahoma, former tight end who did a tremendous job on the left side in pass protection drills. I think he probably solidified, as far as I'm concerned, solidified himself as a late first-round pick.
Eagles fans want to know this, Tony. They're sitting here with the number four pick. It's 3 months away. Any of the players you mentioned, John Jenkins, and any of these players, somebody you'd consider at number four?
No. I mean, maybe Fisher, if Luke Jokel isn't there, but I think Fisher at four is a reach. None of the quarterbacks there really established themselves that you're going to take them that early in the draft. Geno Smith wasn't there. So I think, you know, the Eagles may be looking at guys in the, from the Senior Bowl rounds two, three, four, and five. I highly doubt that they left Mobile thinking that they found their fourth round, their fourth pick of the draft at the Senior Bowl.
You mentioned quarterbacks, a good segue, Tony. Let's talk about the prospects in Mobile. Again, not first-round draft picks necessarily, but some players who a little bit of buzz created last week.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they all had their moments, but I don't think any of them, you know, delivered the knockout blow as we've seen in the past with, you know, Phillip Rivers or David Carrs or Carson Palmer, even Donovan McNabb, you know, the way he performed in 1998. E.J. Manuel is the most physically gifted of all the quarterbacks. He has the ability to make all the throws in the pocket, on the move. He has the ability to pick up yardage with his legs, which is all important now these days in the, you know, those pistol offense, and I'm sure something Chip Kelly's going to want to look for. But he's too erratic. He's very inconsistent. He had a good game, threw some beautiful passes, but there are other times you wonder, you know, who his intended target is because he's so far off the mark. Mike Glennon, I think, did well in scrimmage, or did well in drills, but, you know, that's made for Mike Glennon. The one-on-ones, the seven-on-sevens, that's where he's going to stand out because he has the arm to make all the passes. You know, as we saw a little bit during the game, and if you were down there during full scrimmage, when there was pressure in his face, all of a sudden, you know, Mike Glennon started to fold. He holds the ball too long, doesn't make good decisions, and that is an issue. Ryan Nassib of Syracuse, he also played well at times, but then, you know, his timing was off. He threw some bounce passes. He had some technical things that he has to work on. Same thing with Tyler Wilson, who looks like a solid West Coast timing quarterback. I don't think he has the arm for the vertical game. They all had good things about them. I just don't think that any of the scouts came out and think that, you know, this guy's a definite first rounder. We're going to have to grab him around one or trade up to get him.
Tony, final thing, if you have a draft board, which I presume you always do, give me your first five guys.
My number one guy right now would be DeMontre Moore of Texas A&M, a guy who's a lot of Von Miller in his game. He can play defensive end. He can play outside linebacker, the junior. After him would be Star Lutulele of Utah, defensive tackle, who can also line up on the nose. Number three is Jarvis Jones of Georgia. The outside linebacker, assuming he's healthy, a guy who really has turned into a complete player at the linebacker position. Number four is Bourne Werner of Florida State, another underclassman, terrific 4-3 defensive end. And then the offense makes its first appearance at number five with Luke Jokel of Texas A&M, the left tackle who I'm sure Eagle fans are getting themselves well acquainted with.
Can Luke play right tackle?
Maybe in time. I mean, he's much better pass protector than he is a run blocker. His run blocking strength is basically average, whereas pass protection skills are tremendous. So if you're going to draft Luke Joeckel, you're going to draft him primarily as a blindside protector.
Okay. Hey, Tony, we will be checking in with you many, many times between now and, of course, the week of the draft. Tony Pauline, we thank you for joining us here on Eagles Live.
ACL is one of four major ligaments around the knee. It stabilizes the knee during cutting, pivoting, and jumping activities. Most often, ACL tears are non-contact injuries and occur when quickly changing directions or landing from a jump. Usually, ACL reconstruction is required to allow the athlete to return to their previous level of competition. If you sustained a knee injury or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital, the leading providers of orthopedic care in the region.
Yo, we just scored. Where are you, man?
Hey, Greg. I had to sell my seats because I got this thing that came up.
Hey, Doug.
We bought your seats, Doug.
Yay. Yay.
Yeah, Greg Jennings is in our lap.
I wish Greg Jennings was in my lap.
Doug, I told you we just scored. Why aren't you smiling?
I am smiling.
Show up to me. There's a big Dougie smile. That's my guy.
Teva Pharmaceuticals is the proud sponsor of Eagles in the Community. For more information on the program, click the Community tab right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We had a great 2012 and look forward to an even better 2013. Teva Pharmaceuticals and the Eagles in the Community. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's show. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. Offices are closed next Monday, so we're going to take that day off. And Eagles Live comes back in early February. We're starting to look ahead. Combine late in the month, free agency March 12th, and then the draft. So we'll be here every step of the way. And, of course, we will be here when the Eagles finalize their coaching staff and then announce it to you. So thanks for joining me today, everyone. Hope you enjoyed the show. In the meantime, have yourselves a great Eagles Day.
Keep pushing, hey, keep fighting. You gonna step it up. I'll fight for you. Hey, he's wrong. Let's go.